So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. We are still on the Off the Beaten Path series, having gotten back on board with that. And this week we are in the state of New Mexico. Now, New Mexico is one of those states that's a lot like California. There's a lot of diverse landscape. There's just no ocean. That's the big difference, I guess. But there is a lot of scenery in the state of New Mexico. There are natural things to see, like white sands, and then, of course, the cliff dwellings if you're into ancient architecture, which, if you're listening to this show, you may not be. But there's just a lot of stuff to go over. I'm going to start, I think, in the southeast corner of this state and kind of work my way up and over and then maybe back down. I'm not really sure yet, but I want to start over in the southeastern corner at Carlsbad Caverns. Now, Carlsbad Caverns lies in the town of Carlsbad, just outside of, I believe it's called White City. And Carlsbad Caverns is a little bit different from most other cave systems. It was formed from the bottom up as opposed to the top down, because typically cave systems are formed from groundwater seeping through that's loaded with carbonic acid, and it eats them from the top down. But because the area underneath Carlsbad has a high sulfur content due to, I believe it's underground asphalt, oil, that sort of a thing, that there's a lot of sulfur in there. And it actually was eaten from the bottom up by mild sulfuric acid. So it's a little bit different, but it's a very gorgeous cave system. I have had the opportunity to go down inside of Carlsbad Caverns. And there are two ways that you can get there, because there's a couple different tours that you can take. One is to go around and come in the natural entrance, which is a huge hole in the side of the mountain. That's where the bats fly in and out. The other option is to drive up on top of the caverns and park at the visitor center and take an elevator down. Now, I gotta say though, before I go any further, I think that is the absolute dumbest thing I have ever seen, parking on top of a living cave like that, because, you know, people's cars are leaking oil, they've got grease on them, that is eventually going to get down into the groundwater system and it's going to get into the cave. You know how upset they get when you just touch a formation about the little bit of oil that's on your finger? What about all those gallons of motor oil over the years that are seeping down into the groundwater? So I think having vehicles park on top of the cavern is a stupid idea, but that is what they have done. So you go into the visitor center. It's pretty cool. A lot of exhibits there, things to see and do, learn about the cave itself. And then you take an elevator. I believe it's 800 feet straight down. And it's one of those super fast elevators, too, where it only takes like 30 seconds to go that far. I mean, I was young in my early 20s when I did it, so I was still young enough to jump in the elevator, and you could actually feel that you weighed a lot less than when you're outside on the surface. But you get to the bottom, the elevator opens up into, of all things, an underground gift shop. Yes. That's the first thing you get to when you come out of that elevator. You are in a gift shop. It's in the cave. I mean, there, you can see it's a cave. There's no walls or anything. Well, except for the restrooms over there on the right. But you buy shirts. I've still got a shirt that I bought there in 1990 when I was out. And you can rent these little radios because there's no tour, guys. It's a self-guided tour. So you rent these little radios for, I don't know what it is now, at the time it was 50 cents. And as you get to each interesting thing, there's a local little radio program that's broadcasting from behind a stalagmite somewhere. But if you've got really, really good hearing, like I do, just follow somebody else that paid the 50 cents and listen to their radio. Because you're supposed to hold these things up to your ear. It's supposed to be really quiet. But I've got really super sensitive hearing from being out in the woods all my life. And so for absolutely nothing at all, I was able to listen in. So if you want to eavesdrop, you have that option as well. There is a very large underground room in Carlsbad Caverns. It was at one time the largest known underground room in the world. It's since been surpassed several times over by other cave systems in other countries. But it is roughly 800 feet long and 300 feet tall, and I don't remember how many feet wide, but it is immense when you get in there and you just feel that volume. And it's a very scenic cavern as well. Now, adjacent to Carlsbad is the Lechuguilla system. Now, that is not open to commercial caving. You have to be a registered caver to go down there and pull a permit and all that. So you can't tour through there. But I don't know if it's been discovered, but if they were able to tie the Lechuguilla and the Carlsbad cave systems together, it would become the largest known cave system in the world, even surpassing the Mammoth Cave Flint Ridge system in Kentucky. So it's a really cool place to visit, starting off in southeastern New Mexico. Now, from Carlsbad, if you work your way up, you'll get to a town called Artesia, at which point you can turn left and eventually end up in Alamogordo, or you can continue north up to Roswell. Now, when I was through there in 1990, there was not the big hubbub with Roswell that there is now with the whole UFO community. So I saw no gift shops, no museums, no green aliens hanging out on the sidewalk. But if you're in that part of the state and you're into the whole Roswell story, which I do happen to believe, by the way, I don't think people were mistaken. I certainly don't think the military was mistaken when it first came out and said that they had a crashed UFO, and when eyewitnesses said that they held materials that they'd never seen before that had properties that did not exist at that time. I think something happened out there. I think something crashed. I think the government knows about it. And if you're into that, Roswell, New Mexico is a good place to stop in and visit. Now, if you head west from Roswell, you will find yourself in both the town and county of Lincoln. If you're not familiar with Lincoln, New Mexico, or Lincoln County, you may have heard of the Lincoln County Wars. If that still doesn't sound familiar to you, you are familiar with the story of Billy the Kid that was immortalized in the movie Young Guns and Young Guns 2. Again, being 21 years old when I went through Lincoln, I was not aware of the history of Billy the Kid. The Young Guns movies had not come out at that time. They wouldn't come out for many years after that. So I passed right through without taking the opportunity to stop and explore the town. And folks, there is a lot of history in that town. It's an old town. When you're driving through, you can see that it's an old West town. And there are a lot of places that you can stop in Lincoln and just take in the whole history. Now, slightly northwest from Lincoln is a town called Fort Sumner. And Fort Sumner is where Billy the Kid's grave is. When I was out there, you could still go right up to it and touch it. Of course, now so many things with vandals and the like, the way people have changed over the past two decades, there's now a fence around it, so you can no longer walk up to Billy the Kid's grave like you once were able to. But if you're interested, again, in that history, it's a cool place to visit. It makes a nice snapshot. Not so much now anymore with the chain-link fence around it, but when I was out there, you get a nice open shot of the gravestone. It was kind of cool to take a picture like that. But I just want to back up a little bit, get back down to around the, I was going to say the Mammoth Cave area, the wrong state, the Carlsbad Caverns area. There is a state park down there that's built on a man-made lake. And years and years ago, I think 1993, 1994, when I was first starting out as a general contractor, I was installing doors and closers in a library here in North Carolina. And I was talking to one of the supervisors, and I mentioned, we were talking about Niagara Falls, and I mentioned something about Rockhound. I said, no, I'm sorry, it's Rock Island. Rockhound is in New Mexico. And his ears perked up a little bit. And he said, what do you know about New Mexico? Well, so I've been out there. He said, well, I was stationed out there on a big job. We were building a dam out in the middle of the desert. And I said, well, the only dam I know of out in the middle of the desert is Brantley Lake Dam. And his jaw just dropped, and he said, how do you know about that? I said, well, I've camped out there overnight. So it's a fairly new place. I think it was built somewhere in the late 1980s. And there's a state park there, and there's overnight camping. Again, I camped overnight there. So it's a nice place to pull off if you're into just, you know, spending the night in the back of your pickup or throwing out a tent or something like that. Brantley Lake Dam State Park is a nice place to pull in and do that. So now I'm going to go back up to Artesia and head west over towards Alamogordo. When I came across there, it was very nice scenery because you're in, it's a semi-desert area. It's almost Mediterranean. You have the short prairie grass and the pinyon pines and some junipers. And then all of a sudden you realize that you're surrounded by these soaring Douglas fir trees that are like 150, 250 feet tall up on top of this mountain range. And it's a little town called Cloudcroft, New Mexico. There is a ski resort up there. You would not expect there to be a ski resort in New Mexico, especially just within a few miles of the Mexican border, but there is. So if you're passing through that way in the wintertime and you want to get a little skiing in, Cloudcroft does have a nice ski resort. When you come out of there and you head back west again, you go through a tunnel. When you come out the other end of the tunnel, you're back into high desert again, and you can overlook the whole valley and see the town of Alamogordo, as well as White Sands National Monument. Now, as far as I know, it's still a national monument. It may be a national park by now. Again, so many things have changed their designation since I was out there in the early 90s. But when I was out there, it was White Sands National Monument. And keep in mind, folks, that it is illegal to remove anything from a national park, monument, wildlife refuge, anything like that. So it is highly illegal to remove the white sand from White Sands. Now, what White Sands is gypsum sand. To the extreme southwest portion of the dune field, the gypsum comes up out of the ground, it's saturated with the water, and as it evaporates, it forms what's called gypsum flowers or gypsum roses. And then as sand particles collide with them, it breaks them down, and these dunes gradually drift to the northeast and form White Sands National Monument. It's very unusual. There are a few gypsum dune fields in the world, but as far as I know, White Sands is the largest. Very, very scenic, very spectacular. When you drive in, you initially drive in on a paved road. If you've ever seen Western movies where you see a two-lane road in the middle of these white dunes, that is actually inside of the National Monument. At one point, the pavement does end, and you are then driving on what is essentially a plaster road that they have carved through, and when it rains, the sand melts and it recasts. Excuse me. So for all intents and purposes, you are driving on a road made out of plaster of Paris, which is very interesting. But again, keep in mind when you're out there, it is illegal to remove that sand. So if by some chance you happen to have an empty drink cup and inadvertently dipped it in the sand and put the lid back on and walked around like you were sipping on the straw, it might be theoretically possible to remove some sand from the park that way. Not saying I know anything about this firsthand, I'm merely hypothesizing. Gotta take a quick break. When I come back, gonna continue on across the southern portion of New Mexico, down into the Boot Heel area, and then kind of work my way back up through the center of the state. Don't go anywhere.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective. Gay pride days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so I am talking about the state of New Mexico this week and some of the cool things to see and do while in the state of New Mexico. Now, I left off with White Sands. And there are two portions of White Sands. One is the portion that the public can visit, which is just outside of Alamogordo. On the other side of the mountain range is White Sands Space Harbor, where they used to be able to land the space shuttle, and they launched all kinds of rockets. There's a spaceport there. But between there, on the way to Interstate 10 to go across the southern portion of the state, coming out of Alamogordo, you actually go through a missile testing area. And it's really, really odd to see a big sign like it would say exit, a big green sign with white letters, but instead it says missile range with an arrow pointing. Very, very odd. I don't know if they actually shut it down when they're doing tests there, if it's far enough away, I don't know. I do know that there is a public road in Arizona in the western part of the state that goes through the Barry Goldwater bombing range, and they do actually shut the highway down when they're doing bombing runs out there. So they may very well shut this road down, too, when they're shooting missiles, but still really cool to see a sign that says missile range. You just don't see that everywhere. Now, when you get onto Interstate 10 and head west towards southern Arizona, you're going to get to a town called Lordsburg, and this is right on the edge of the Alkali Flats. If you go through Lordsburg, like it's huge, huge, huge alkali flat, and it's absolutely not uncommon at all to have dust storms blowing up across there. So keep that in mind if you do ever plan on traveling that portion of Interstate 10. You're in all likelihood during certain times of the year going to run into some sort of a dust storm coming off those alkali flats. But if you turn north at Lordsburg, what? No, George, it was not named after Tracy Lord. Do you mind? You turn north at Lordsburg and head towards Silver City. You're going to get to a place called the City of Rocks State Park. And this place is really, really cool. Now, there's no amenities there, but it's free to go into. You can park, you can camp if you want. But I don't know how many acres this place is, but it's these rocks, these volcanic rocks. It's called rhyolite. And I don't know exactly what it entails to make rhyolite, but I know it's pretty hard stuff. It's almost as hard as granite. And when you're wandering through these rocks, it's almost like being in a town. It's just really, really cool. It's almost impossible to describe. And in all my travels, that's the only place where I've ever run into something that had the potential to kill me. I heard a rattlesnake. I was running my video camera, and I heard it rattle. I jumped up on a rock and looked all around. I could never find it. And I beat a hasty retreat out of there. That is the only time I've ever come in contact with something that had the ability to kill me like that. But yes, George. George wanted me to bring up the fact that I have run into timber wolves in Quebec and a cougar on a rock in Arizona, which I believe I discussed on this program when I was doing Arizona. Yes, George, those are deadly animals, and they had the potential to kill me as well, but those are mammals, and I'm not really concerned about mammals that much. Snakes, scorpions, and tarantulas, and killer bees, I want absolutely no part of. Thank God I've never come into contact with killer bees either. But it's an interesting place to spend the night. If you want to risk laying on the ground in rattlesnake territory, it is an awesome place. If Stonehenge were natural, this is what the City of Rocks would be like. It's that awesome. Now, to the north and west of Silver City are the Gila Cliff Dwellings. Now, if you listen to this show, you may really not care too much about American Indian history or culture. And notice I said American Indian, not Native American. I'm Native American. I was born in this country. That makes me Native American. I don't care if I'm a German American. I am not a hyphenated American. I am simply an American. But if you are interested in the Gila Cliff Dwellings, they are a very interesting place to visit. I'm sure you're familiar with these. It's where they actually hollowed out, or it took natural hollows in the sandstone cliff faces and put adobe bricks in front and blocked them up and literally made these condos up the sides of the cliffs. There are a few places in the Southwest that do this. The Gila Cliff Dwellings are the most famous. There are some in northeastern Arizona as well, but none are as impressive as the ones that you will find where the Gila Cliff Dwellings are. And they have some petroglyphs there too. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about American Indians and their history. But again, if you are interested in the culture, it's an interesting place to visit. And I bring this up because other cultures do have interesting aspects about them. Does it mean I want them forced down my throat? No. I don't like multiculturalism, but I might say be interested in visiting an Aboriginal village somewhere just to see what it was like. I have no interest in visiting a village made out of dung huts in Africa. But you understand what I'm saying, folks. Where there was some sort of civilization there where they had some intelligence beyond the Stone Age, it is interesting to see how those other cultures did live in the primitive times. Now, let's head north to Albuquerque, because in Albuquerque is the longest aerial tram in the world. And this is important, because there are some really long tramways in the Alps, folks, to get to some of these ski resorts. But this one goes up the backside of the mountain coming out of Albuquerque, and I don't know exactly how long it is, but it is the longest one in the world. And if you want some awesome views of the desert and lava flows and just a really, really unique scenery, or vista, I guess it would be a better term, to see from a tram, this is the place to visit. I'm sure there is a fee charged. I don't know. I did not take the tram. And if you'll notice, by the way, folks, this week, I am not referencing out of a book because there's just so much to see in the state of New Mexico. This one is just coming entirely out of my head, so I have no idea what admission fees are or how long trails are or anything along those lines. Longest aerial tram in the world is in Albuquerque. Head north to a little place called Shiprock. I'm sure you have all heard of Shiprock, New Mexico. Now, Shiprock is actually one of a series of huge stone escarpments that come up out of the desert floor, and they are basically the cores of extinct volcanoes. Shiprock is the most famous. And the road that you drive along to get there has since been renamed. It was Highway 666, nicknamed the Devil's Highway, El Camino del Diablo. People supposedly had these strange encounters. I think it was all just a crock myself. But they are interesting to see. They photograph very well. And unlike most rocks in the Southwest, instead of being that reddish, purpley-reddish color, they're actually a golden color, which is very different. Now, when you get to the town of Shiprock, you take a right and go a few miles, and you will get to two places that are side by side. One is the Chaco Historical Cultural Center, which are some Anasazi ruins, which I'm not going to get into, but adjacent to that is the Bisti Badlands. The Bisti Badlands are very recognizable because they are the Badlands that have the rocks that are shaped like Hershey's Kisses. Two movies that I can think of that feature the Bisti Badlands were Butch and Sundance and High Desert Kill with Chuck, Chuck Connors, the Rifleman. High Desert Kill actually featured shots both in Chaco Historical Cultural Center and the Bisti Badlands, but those really weird Hershey Kiss-shaped rocks are the Bisti Badlands. You won't find it on the map. You're going to have to go there and inquire locally, but when you find them, my God, it is an awesome place to wander around. It's even better than the City of Rocks. Now, one final place you might be interested in the state of New Mexico, is a little town called Santa Rosa. It's located on Interstate 40 in the extreme northeastern portion of the state. And there is still a portion of historic Route 66 that goes through downtown Santa Rosa. So if you ever want to experience what it was like to see old historic Route 66, get off in Santa Rosa. Also, if you head a few miles north, you will find Santa Rosa State Park, which is a nice place to stay overnight. I have done that in the back of my pickup truck, had the coyotes literally running in circles around my pickup truck. It was very interesting, to say the least. So I am out of time here, folks. As always, when they go by this quick, you know, it's usually a really good state. But I think I've covered all the bases pretty much for New Mexico. So as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. For now, I'm going to sign off with Johnny Cash singing New Mexico.
It was in the town of Griffin, the year was 83. It was there an old cowpuncher stepped up and said to me, "How do you do, young fellow, and how would you like to go and spend a pleasant summer out in New Mexico? I'll furnish you good wages, your transportation too, if you will but go with me one summer season through. But if you should get homesick and back to Griffin go, then I'll furnish you no horses from the hills of Mexico." We left the town of Griffin in the merry month of May, when all the world was lovely and everything was gay, with saddles on our horses, marching on we did go, until we reached Old Boggy out in New Mexico. It was there our pleasures ended and our troubles they began. The first hailstorm fell on us, those cattle how they ran. Through all the thorns and thistles us cowboys had to go, while the Indians watched upon us out in New Mexico. Well, when the drive was over, the riders would not pay. To all you happy people, this much I have to say. Go back to your friends and loved ones, tell others not to go to the godforsaken country they call New Mexico.